And when I got a contract coming in from Gold's Gym that they wanted 2 days of my time. And I called the guy back and I said, well, what do you want me to do? You know, I said, because I'm not really a firm believer in exercising and to the point where you come in and go, bleh. I was walking those places and I want to walk up to the guys and go, you're done. I really, there is a point of diminishing returns. But anyway, the guy asked me to come down there, and I went down to one. He owns like five or six of them. They're a franchise. And I went in, and there was a guy on this treadmill, man, just trucking away on this treadmill, and he's like that. And I walked up to him, and I went, you're not getting anywhere. The guy looked at me, and I said, trust me, you're not getting anywhere. And there's a reason for that, is because he was staring at his feet. And if you stare at your feet when you run, your body will adjust, and it knows that you're running. If you're trying to get your metabolism to change, you need to change your metabolism and then run. Not run, because your metabolism will run, and then when you go back, then it'll make you really hungry. And that's what these people do, especially this one. It's in the middle of a shopping center. Everybody goes in, runs, right, jazzercises, and then goes over and eats ice cream. Right? Now, better you turn your metabolism up and go and eat the ice cream in the first place. And then go run and you'll burn off the energy. They just had the sequence wrong. At least they have the sense not to run on the side of the freeway, because I guess it was about 15 years ago, there was a guy who kept coming to workshops and criticizing everybody for not exercising, and he went out and was running down the road. He got hit by a car. My car. I wasn't driving, however, but it did cross my mind that, to me, the trick is to make what you're doing work for you. Now, when I asked him, I said, what is it you guys want me to do in here? He said, we have all these things, you know, personal trainer programs and stuff. And before I had talked to him, I was standing over there, and I had this little counter thing. It looked like a, you know, those portable bars they have in the hotels when they have a party, they roll them in. And behind it, they had signs on the walls for all the things that they offered. And there was this lovely girl standing behind there, and this guy came up and said, I'm thinking about a personal trainer. And she pointed up on the wall and went down and tied her shoe. Right? And the guy was looking at the wall, and he just stood there looking at the wall for a while, and then he walked away. This is not my sales training course. My sales training course says that, number one, get attention isn't done through all the mediums that people do. It's done by throwing thunderbolts at people. When it's time to get their attention, the way to do it, and it's also, by the way, part of my flirting course, by the way, for those of you people who are still single and looking around, if you want to have good choices, you need to be able to throw a thunderbolt across a room. And I don't care how many people are there, it's all done by going on the inside and making something so powerful on the inside. When you turn and you look at somebody, they say inside their head, oh, shit. Right? It's a natural, instinctual reaction. And the thing is you want to be able to make it so that they ooze juices inside themselves, and the inside starts going, I believe the technical term is, ape shit. Because if you don't have impact on people, you don't have impact on them. It's just that simple. If you're sitting someplace, and I know, because I know in the flirting course, by the way, I got to tell you this. This course, I did it in San Diego because I was curious. I could not understand for the life of me how all these guys would come up to me and say things like, they go, God, you know, I can't get a date, right? And I'd look around, and San Diego is like, you know, filled with single people. It's what I call, by the way, loser land. It's all the people who couldn't make it somewhere else have gone to San Diego because it's a boom town. So all you get is you call and their answering machine is always on and they never call you back. So and if they do, then your answering machine is on. So they ought to just let the answering machine date and the people sit home by the phone. Now, what happened was is I lined up. I finally, at a certain point in time, I figured out what was going on here. Because these are the people whose sensory acuity has never calibrated. So I lined up all the women on one side in a big long line and all the guys like this. We actually had two lines. And I said to the women, I said, I want you to go in and I want you to generate some external behavior. No words, just some external behavior, which is either a green light or a red light. One or the other. And if it's you guys think it's a green light, I want you to hold up a finger like this. And if you think it's a red light, hold up a finger like this. 220 people, only three got it right. That's a staggering statistic, by the way. It means these guys didn't even suspect. I mean, if a woman looked at them and walked away and twirled her hair, they went, red light. You notice the one guy and the women are laughing. The rest of you guys pay attention to this. They were going, I thought that was a red light. No, that's a green light. Jesus. See, what, if they weren't interested, they wouldn't twirl their hair. They would ignore you. See, they don't pay attention to who they're not interested in. Ah, this guy back there. Oh, right. Now, the other thing is if they turn and look at you, smile. Don't look away. Right? I mean, this is a very important thing because otherwise they think you're a wimp and they're right. Well, it's true. Now, the thing is that if you built the habit of looking away, you have to learn to stop it. But we're going to utilize the same phenomenon because if internally you can generate an incredibly powerful, incredibly pleasant state, when you look at people, you will have their attention in a way. If they look away, just wait. They'll look back. And when they do, if you're dating, you make this gesture. Dead serious. Hey, you know what? Some people in this life hesitate and hesitate and hesitate and hesitate. And then there are some of us that have the best of everything. Because we hesitate when we're done. When is it time to hesitate? When you're finished. Right? You do your hesitating at the beginning. I know people that, and that's the same thing I was telling the first night I was talking about. You know, you guys, if you get a phone number from a girl, call her. Right? These guys put it next to the phone and sit and talk to themselves for like 2 months. Right? Well, if I call her, but what if she's got a boyfriend since then? Right? Dial the phone. Right? It's not that hard. You pick up the receiver and you press the numbers on the paper. Okay? And then hesitate. Because it'll ring. When they answer, then speak. Okay? It's the way it's done. I realize it's a primitive. Same thing with cold calling. When do you hesitate? After you've dialed. Right? It just takes a while. It's a good time to hesitate. Hesitate until the phone is answered. Right? Put these things in the proper sequence. Now, when the little sequence that John used, the same one that I use, right? The one starts with hesitating. See, to me, hesitation is one of the major difficulties on the planet. Everybody's waiting for everybody else to do everything. And if they're hesitating and you're not, you go into light speed compared to the rest of the planet. And I mean, it amazes me. I mean, I find it going on all the time. People pick up a menu and don't read it. Usually I've ordered, gotten my meal by the time their eyes go back down. Now, I've noticed that in line, people are waiting. If they hesitate, I just keep moving. And they go, you cut in line. And I go, no, I didn't. The line broke. It's a law. And then I tell them, look, I go, close your eyes and think about it. And I move on. See, to me, you get born and you get to live a certain amount of time. What if it turns out when you go to heaven, the amount of time you've hesitated in life multiplied by 1,000 years is how long you have to wait in line in purgatory? Right? Would you be hanging around going, well, should I talk to her? 1,000 years for every moment. Now, I sort of live that way because I've decided that if I want to stop it, doesn't hurt to try, you know? So with clients, I do the same thing when they come in. I always try just telling them to stop it because typically it's just something they're doing in their head. They go, I drive myself crazy. And I go, well, stop it. And they'll go, thank you. $5,000 right now. Actually, there's a guy named Bob Duback that tried to get the world to do something, which I thought was a great idea. He wanted to invent the stupid law. And that's where if you caught somebody doing something stupid, you got to charge them $5. So if you walk up and press the elevator button, somebody else walks up and presses it, you get to go, hey, the elevator's not coming any faster, that'll be $5. And when they go, why? You go, it's the law. The stupid law. Now, I thought this would be great if we instigated this sort of thing because, you know, if we were all watching each other to find out when we were being stupid and charging each other, the world would get smarter much quicker. Because other than being stupid, being cheap is the one universal I think we find is that most of us don't like the idea of wasting money. Although we do, we don't like the idea of it. That, you know, if you walked up to somebody and said, pull out a $5 bill and light it on fire, they won't do it. However, you know, if you provide them the ample opportunity. For example, I think Vegas is the shrine to stupidity. Now those shrines are popping up everywhere, that people put money in something and pull the handle and no money comes out. So they do it again. See, I only do it once. I figure if it doesn't give you money, it's not going to. However, I cheat, though, because I talk to the machines and ask them first. Now, you guys think I'm kidding, too, and I'm not. There have been many people who have gone to me. I personally like to go to a place like Reno because it has less jerks in it, proportionately, anyway. And I found that all you have to do is watch, and you find somebody who plays a slot machine ferociously. You just sit at the bar and have cocktails. You know, just wait. And eventually they'll be mean and they'll generate all kinds of negative energy. And when they walk away, you go up and you put a coin in and the money all comes out. 9 out of 10 times. Right. You have to have patience, which is not something most people have in casinos. But you see, it's generating the internal state that no one has that allows you to be able to do something in any situation. People who are frustrated never get themselves anywhere. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to try a little technique that I think is somewhat useful for this. Put your feet on the floor and close your eyes. And there's a thing called amplifying states. Now, some of you know it better than others. It doesn't matter. But this is where you go back into, and imagine if you got to pick 6 states of consciousness. That's S-I-X, by the way. I saw that, Jim. Sick. Yes, sick. S-I-C-K. Right, the whips and the chains were there right all over his mind. It's the Mondo bondage of, you know, B and D of internal states. It's where, but you guys have already whipped yourself enough, don't you think? I think you guys have really done an amply good job of that. You know, hopefully last night you stepped outside of it and you're ready to have some fun. Now, I want you to go back and pick 6 S-I-X states. And when you find each one, what I want you to do is the following. I want you to go inside, see what you saw at the time, hear what you heard, right? And I want you then to let it get bigger, brighter, move the distance of the image back and forth, turn up the volume, make it so it's sensory Dolby surround sound. Take the speakers in your mind and turn them down to the ground so that it rumbles in your body when there's sound, so that when you hear screams of delight, you can feel it vibrate, right? And then crank it up very slowly so that you can get it as high as you can so you recapture the good feeling. Now, when you do, then I want you to open a circle up in the middle of the next one. So number one, you get to peak experience. Number two, you quickly open up. So go and get some time where you really felt a thrill, a time where you felt overwhelmingly excited. And I want you to take at least one where you had personal delight and satisfaction from doing a job well, competently, that when you were done, you knew you did it right and you felt good about it. That's right. Keep turning them up one at a time, because what you want to build for yourself is an internal anchor. And as you're doing this, I want you to hear a storm brewing in your mind. That's right. So that you hear the thunder in the distance as the thunder rolls up more and more inside your mind. That's right. Build it up. As you move through all 6, keep it going and keep the sound of the thunder going. And you might even add this. See, before I do things, I like to go into state. And I feel the thunder building up, especially when I know the client's walking down the hall. Poor little client doesn't know what he's in for. And I let it build up, and I feel these things inside me because I know the most important instance will be the first. Because what I do is when I feel that storm right above me, when I turn and I look at that client, my internal state will overwhelm him, them, or whatever. Because you want to be able to let your internal strength well up, and then I say inside my mind, any word that you personally want, you can just say, let's begin. And when you do, open your eyes and look and throw a thunderbolt so it hits whoever you're looking at. They'll know. Let it just well out of you all at once. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to practice this a little bit this afternoon. And we're going to layer a few straights on. There are sounds which will help you internally. Yeah, don't throw it with your arm. Out of your eyes, your eyes. Now, open your eyes, and what we're going to do is we're going to amplify this. I want you to be able to go into a state which is so powerful, sparks come off of you. So what we're going to do is real simple. I want you to go back into the groups you were in out there. They look like nice groups. Only this time, what I want you to do is to have all of you put stuff in. Think about the person. Think about what it is that they don't have. See, this is what I always do, is the trick is not seeing what's there, the trick is seeing what's not there, right? Pick the kind of experience, because I'll bet you'll find it sometime around the time they were a teenager. Now, we want to be able to take these things, because we don't want anybody to be nasty, like teenagers are. They can't help it. You want to be able to feel the hakoa, the power. You want to take the situations, especially times and places, where you were just right on. I mean, with a client, sometimes with an audience. Sometimes you just go into that extra special state, and you want to start combining these together so that you always get better than your best. Too many people try to, and the problem with emulating is that you try to be as good as, which means you're always going to fall short as. People tell me, I hear people, and they tell me, you know, they're talking about the good days in their life, and it was when they were 18. I mean, I went to my high school reunion just for revenge. Well, I didn't actually go into my high school reunion. I waited outside with two big black guys. There were a few people I wanted to deliver a message to, and I'm a patient sort of guy. 25 years is nothing to me. I can hold a grudge forever. And it's just when they stepped outside, you know, because at that time, you know, life was different. I was just the hippie rock and roll musician they chased with a 2x4 and cattle shears, right? But times changed. They were old men. The black guys weren't. A friend of mine owns a gym where they train fighters. I just did it so they could get the right internal state before I angered it. It was just something about two black guys with their heads shaved walking out and going, "Are you so-and-so?" And they go, "Yeah." And they go, "He's been waiting for you." And then when they say, "Oh, shit," you anchor it. You know, now it's time to talk about lowering your self-esteem. And you're done. Now it's time to talk about raising the power in you. Because, you see, you spent a lot of time thinking about what could go wrong before you did things. You were trained to. You went to school. They gave you tests, and you started thinking things. And then when they graded the test, what did they mark out? Everything you did wrong, didn't they? They didn't mark out the words you spelled right so you'd remember them. They marked a big red check. So you got to scan in your mind for what was wrong and what could go wrong. Now you have to scan in your mind for how you're going to surprise yourself. Because every time you do things with an audience, every time you do things with an individual, if you're looking for miracles, you will find them. See, I don't always know. People bring me now clients with stuff that I've never even heard of. I mean, you know, it's like that. They're still, after all these years, bringing me the impossibles, right? And you know what? They're getting easier and easier all the time. At first, they were difficult because, you know, I thought I had to understand what it was the psychiatrist told me about. Now I found out everything they understand has done no good. If any of their understanding was useful, it would have got them so that they didn't have the problem. Now I found out all I have to do is listen to the client for a little while. Listen to this one, this woman who had the psychiatric, just pathological, psychotic episodes. I mean, we're talking falling down, writhing on the ground, because people were late. Okay, I mentioned her to you, right? First line out of her mouth, I said, well, so what can I do for you? She said, I had a problem I need to get more distance from. Now, tell me that's not giving it away on a platter, right, you know. And I go, okay, what problem? So she makes pictures of people being late. She gets closer and closer till she feels the blood splattering on her, right? Well, it's an unconscious process. But if I tell her to push the picture away, then she doesn't. In fact, I said, as soon as you push it away, take the white button, turn it all the way up. So all you see is a white screen. You can do that just like your television. And they did a 6-month follow-up study because, you know, psychologists can't tell in the moment. They have to wait. They bring this lady back and they say, have you had any more problems with this? She said, no. She said, you know, the very day that this happened, I went home and somebody was late and I stopped to think about it and everything went white and I just went in the other room and went to sleep. I don't know why. Something Milton did, no doubt. Now, inside of you, the real power is not mean strength. The power is when you care about people. Because when you care about them, and then they can't hurt you. Because nothing they say will you count. Because you don't care about what they do, you care about them. How many of your kids have gotten in trouble and you really couldn't give a shit what they did? Didn't matter. The school picked on them, you don't care. Especially for sins like talking in class. Now, if they did it in front of you, it'd be another thing. But when somebody else does it, you don't care. Right? Because you just want to get them to the place that you want them to be. You want them to be happy, you want them to be graduated, and you want them to have their own home and their own job. And more, when they're 2 and 3, you think you'll never want that. But see, then it's send me the grandchildren. Ha, ha, ha. It's time for revenge. Me, I'm looking forward to it. Both my kids swear they'll never have children, but they don't know the power of hypnosis. That's okay. And when I get the grandkids, I'm going to spoil the shit out of them and buy them noisy toys. My mother taught me this one. See, she would buy them things. Every toy that she bought made loud, whining noises. Right? I'm going to invent toys. My own toys. Toys that make dental drill noises. Screams of terror in the night. You think Freddy can make scary sounds. Wait till Richard gets in the sampling studio and makes devices. I'm going to make a little tiny dog